And let us pray. O living Spirit of God, speak now to us a living word, and may our hearing and responding become the living of our lives in deeper faithfulness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please finish the following sentence with one word. Life is. Life is what? Life is good. Life is a gift. Life is beautiful. Those are good words, pleasant words for what life is, all positive and all true. And some tougher words could also be used to complete the sentence. Life is struggle. Life is conflict. Life is hard. And all of us know, to varying degrees, that all of that is true. It is amazing, though, how fast the accent can shift from the pleasant to the difficult. The experiences of life, as wonderfully good or as difficult struggle, either one of these can step forward at any time while all the others remain. Life is good. Life is struggle. Life is beautiful. Life is hard. Altogether. That shifting, the shifting accent, is vividly present in the first few sentences of Mark's gospel. Jesus begins here with baptism, that beautiful river, John, his friend, the descending dove, the voice of God, you are my beloved, my son, my delight. But without skipping a beat comes this, and immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, tested by Satan. You feel the harshness of that? It's especially in the verb. The Spirit drove him out. Didn't lead him, didn't invite him or call him. It drove him. The man steps out of the river, drenched in fresh blessing, and God drives him immediately, pushes him like a gale wind, tumbling end over end, shocked and bewildered, into the desert to face the demonic. And while the story of Jesus is unique and all his own, the truth is that also always Jesus stands for what is rightly a human life. And so this is our story too. We live it in smaller scale. But this is our story. The mind that we have been given is not meant to be always peaceful, but is also meant to grapple with painful events and very difficult questions. We are not here for smooth sailing. We are here to challenge and to be challenged. Part of the greatness God wants from us is born of wrestling with great problems in our world and in ourselves. And as with Jesus, that will not always be of our own choosing, but because the Spirit drives us there. So he finds himself deep into that wilderness and will be out there for 40 days. There's really no need to think too literally about that number 40, because in the Bible, what 40 really means is a very long time. It means all the time that is needed. Of more interest to me is the real meaning of that word we translate wilderness. Because in the original Greek language of the text, the word literally means empty place. Place of emptiness. Think of it. The Spirit drove him into emptiness. It's desolate out there. Rocks, sand, mostly barren. Out there, he has no external resources, no nourishment, nobody anywhere who can help him in any way at all. He's reduced to absolute vulnerability. Doesn't have a cell phone. Doesn't have a book. Just him out there in the emptiness. Him and his bodily needs and his memories, his imaginings and concerns and prayers and the voices in his head, one of which belongs to Satan. That's not the only voice. Surely, still echoing in his mind is that voice that said, "Beloved, I take delight in you." And surely also in his mind are voices, good ones, from the communities of which he had been part. And the voices of the scriptures that, thank God, he had by heart. But all mingled in with these are other voices. Voices now of anxiety, falsehood, panic, self-regard, self-pity, the achievement of worthy outcomes by unworthy ways, these are all satanic suggestions. And isn't it striking how such voices as these mix in with all the other voices? How some of our worst inclinations disguise themselves as good inclinations. And so Jesus was tested in an empty place for a really long time, and he was by himself. Something else. Mark's gospel adds, he was with the wild beasts. Oh my. So the empty place is not all that empty, after all. And he is not as all by himself as we might have thought. Wild animals are lurking out there. The Judean wilderness in various biblical times was known to have lions, antelope, wolves, bears, cobras, desert vipers, hyenas, jackals, desert foxes, wild boars. Are the wild animals mentioned to underline for us how dangerous his situation is, how vulnerable, terribly vulnerable, defenseless he is? Should we imagine him out there at night staring into the darkness, making out pairs of yellow eyes, waiting, drawing closer? It's hard to know for certain why Mark feels a need to mention that Jesus was with the wild beasts, but I'm glad he did. Especially because that expression, he was with them, throughout Scripture is used for a positive presence. a presence in solidarity with, in strength with, as in the Lord is with us, as in I will not be afraid, for you are with me, as in Jesus being called by name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He was with the wild beasts, and it sounds to me like he is with them companionably. And didn't the old prophets dream that when the kingdom of God finally comes, the lion and the bear will lie down with the ox and the lamb, and a child will play at the den of the poisonous snake? And hadn't God in the beginning, says the story, brought all the animals to Adam, who gave them their names in peace, then lost his communion with them when he sinned and was expelled from the garden? Is Jesus a new Adam out here in the wilderness, calling all of God's creatures to himself, blessing their wildness, bringing them to harmony, leading the way to reconcile all of us to all creation, communion with God, and communion with all God's creatures? What a dream. Or maybe this also, that the snarling and howling and snuffling of the wild beasts was at first intermingled with the devil's voice in his ears. But Jesus befriends these hungry, anxious, grasping, wild voices, accepts them for what they are, and brings them to quietness and harmony for him and for us all. I don't know how best to read this text, but I do know that within each of us is a kind of wilderness, a place of aloneness, of vulnerability that we might be afraid of and run from and do all we can to avoid, because we do not want to face what might meet us there in the emptiness. We don't want to face our demons, the coming to terms with our darkest fears and neediness and pridefulness, the anger that is in us and the heartbreak we bear, and the disease of the world around us in which we have a part, and the possibilities in us, the great possibilities from which we shrink because we feel too small. All the things that we cling to that we should have let go long ago, all the possibility of taking up what is ours rightly to take up now and to do faithfully now. Who wants to face all that? But even here, Christ says, especially here, Christ says, follow me into all of this. I know the wilderness. Come with me there. And if we do, and if we listen, he will help us to refuse what we must refuse, and help us with all our hearts to say yes to what is ours to embrace, to who is ours to embrace. And if we know ourselves, by the way, to be a kind of habitat of wild beasts within us, howling wolf, frightened mouse, sneaky fox, grumpy bear, pig, weasel, sloth, playful otter, fierce tiger, soaring eagle. Well, we just present to Christ the whole menagerie. And he calls them to himself and blesses them and makes them into harmony and blesses that sweet wildness in us that is at peace with what the God of all creation desires of us and of the world. Amen. The wilderness in you, the wilderness in me, which is to say, going into the silence, the aloneness, the letting go, the new praying and the long listening and the consideration of the world as it is, the consideration of ourselves as we are and the staying there with it until we get new light. This is not an easy place to go. Sins are dealt with there and feelings faced and hard decisions made. It is scary. But healing happens there. And clarified purpose begins to happen there. And Christ, in new ways, meets us there. And so Barbara Brown Taylor was right when she said that the emptiness, the hollowness we fear in ourselves is not a sign of something wrong, but is in fact the Holy of Holies within us. Which is what Jesus found in his wilderness. The story says that angels ministered to him there. That place of emptiness turns out really to be quite crowded. Wild beasts all over the place and angels ministering. What looks to be an empty place, dear friends, is often not empty at all. But filled not only with testing and struggle, but filled in surprising ways with provision for us. Strength enough for us, resources enough for us, light enough, and forever more than enough, love for us. And for the world. That love invites us into the empty places to which we are called, armed with the remembrance of the original voice, "You are my beloved child. In you I do take delight. Now go." Go into your wilderness unafraid, remembering who you are by the grace of God. And ministering angels will meet you there. And so will Christ, who knows his way through, all the way to the garden in the morning of Easter, resurrection, new life for us all.